Yesterday we were learning the Gemara Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, where Rabbi makes a contrast between Kuvah Di'ara and Trisa. Kuvah Di'ara is Chayv and Chala, and Trisa is Patam and Achala. What exactly is Trisa? So the Gemara had three versions, and all three are quoted L'Halach and Shulchan Aruch. They don't contradict each other. The word Trisa probably means either one or the other or the other, but L'Halach will be Paskin that all three are Patam. So the first one was Gvil Merutach. Bil Merutach is the same as Kuvah Di'ara, that it's a lila raka, it's a batter that you pour. But the difference is that the Kuvah Di'ara, Rashi says, you put into a container and you know that it's going to have a thickness, it's going to have a body to it. So that's an afiyah. So even though it's a lila raka, it has an afiyah, so it's chayv v'chal. The Bil Merutach, Rashi explains, you pour on the surface, and it would really spread all over the place. Wouldn't have any body at all, except that the heat causes it to get baked. The melee, when it gets baked, it turns into a solid, so it doesn't keep on spilling all over the place, so it stops. But since the nature of the meichel is that it keeps on spreading up until the point that it becomes solid, so that's not called teresa denam. That's not called Teresa de Nama. Is a concept on a level of the Rabbanah to distinguish between Hamoitzi and Bar Minim Zaynus. But this Gvil Merutach is lacking a Teresa Tama on the level of the Raisa. Teresa de Nama, Tzuris HaPas, is needed in order to be called Lechem, in order to be Chai B'Challah. So this doesn't have a Tzuris HaPas at all on the level of the Raisa. So that's what the Beis Yosef said. It can never become Hamoitzi, even if you Kaveh Sud on it. It's never going to be Hamoitzi. It's very, we mentioned yesterday, the Torah says, not so, the Magan Avram defends the Torah, and there's a whole pilpul and achreinim. The whole thing is a pella. How can anybody hold like the Torah? That's the ABC of the whole Gemara. That if the thing is not lechem for challah, then it can never become hamotzi lechem menor. It's alpi pashtos, like the Beis Yosef said. That was the first version. Then the second version of the Gemara says, ikadanami nahamad dehandiko. So what's wrong with the hamad dehandiko? Why isn't it chai b'challah? Why doesn't it have a shame lechem? So the Aruch HaShulchan quoted Lahalacha in Yoriday, they just quote the Gemara, they didn't give no explanation whatsoever. No explanation why they're potter. Just quotes Nama the Handika as potter, he gives you a description of what it is, doesn't give you the reason. Why is it potter from Chal? So the Aruch HaShulchan quotes his Rabbeinu Yoina, that if you have a lechem, where the nature of the lechem is such that it's always omit to be eaten as a snack, and normal people are never kaver suda on it, even though theoretically if you would be kaver suda, you would say amoitzi. Since normal people are never kaver suda, so the din is that it's not chai machal. So that's very difficult. The pashta says that's against the whole yoredei. That's against the whole simon about hafrashas chala. So what could possibly be an alternate pshat? So the rabbeinu yoni, after he first gives that pshat, then he gives v'ikad diyamri, and other rishonim interpret, they give a different reason, that this nahama dehandako is not oimed l'achilo sadam. It's going to be used for tachshiti hanoshim. The women make a loaf of bread, and then they rub on their lipstick or something. So if it's not oimed l'achilo, so by definition, it's not chai v'chal. You can have perfectly edible food, but if it's not oimed l'achilo, it's not called lechem, it's not chai v'chal. That's a mishnah. That's an important mishnah in Maseches Chal. And mishnah says, Isis haklovim. If you bake bread for the dogs, so if it's bizman shaharoy mechlem hen menu, if the shepherd sometimes nibble on it also, then it's chayv and chala. The whole thing is chayv and chala. Either shepherds only eat a certain percentage, it doesn't matter. If they eat some of it, that means that the whole thing has a shame lechem, so the whole thing is chayv and chala. Bizman shaharoy mechlem hen menu, if the shepherds never eat from it, even though it is roy l'achilo sodom, they never eat, so it's not called lechem. And then the Yerushalmi says on that mishnah, doesn't just depend on the machshava. If you plan, if the human beings plan to eat from it, then it's lechem, it's chayv v'chala. It has to be maaseh machich malel, like the Bavli says over here. It has to be maaseh machich malel. You made it for the dogs, Isis haklovim, and it doesn't have a normal shape. It doesn't look like a normal bread, just flat bar of bread. The dogs are not makbid on what it should look like. Maybe the dogs are makbid, but the human beings are not makbid that the dog should have pretty looking loaves of bread. But if it's a nice, pretty looking loaf of bread, even though the machshav is absolutely that it's only for the dogs, then the din is that it's chai v'chala. Even you don't plan to have human beings eat from it. It has to be maaseh machich malel. This nageh l'halacha. This nageh l'halacha. that if you have bread, you bake bread, and you absolutely do not plan to eat any of the bread that you bake, then it's not called lechem, and it's not chayim chalom. Nagil aloch in the following case. You have sometimes a kashrus organization, an industrial kashrus. You have a kashrus organization wants to give a hechsher on a Jewish bakery. A non-Jewish bakery doesn't have a chiyuv to be mafrish challah. But if the bakery is owned by Jews, or partially owned by Jews, let's say whenever they bake bread, they have 100 pounds of dough at one time. And very often, the brilliant lawyers are Jewish. Very often, every company has to have a lawyer. And the lawyer, a lot of times, takes, in addition to his salary, or instead of his salary, he wants to be a part owner. He wants to have a 5% ownership in the business, a 1% ownership, whatever. So if they do 100 pounds of flour at one time, and he owns 3%, so 3 pounds of flour is always belonging to a Jew. How much flour do you have to need in order to be chayim chalom? So mem gimel beitzim mechamish beitzim. He said yesterday gematria chalom. Teslam ahead. Okay. So how much is it? Halacha l'maaseh. How much is it? So Rav Henkin said many years ago, there was the big pesach in New York before Rav Moshe Feinstein became famous, before he appeared on the scene, before he became famous, it was Rabbi Henkin. Rav Henkin from the Ezra's term. So he said many years ago, it's between 3 and 5 pounds is a sofek, you mafresh challah without a broch, and if you use 5 pounds of flour, then you mafresh challah with a broch. Okay. So that's what many people follow that. So let's say this non-Jewish bakery has a Jewish lawyer who owns 3% of the company, so whenever they're baking challah, whenever they're baking any bread or anything, so 3% of everything that they do belongs to him. So if you do 100 pounds of flour at a time, I think they usually do 50 pounds of flour at a time. So let's say they do it for, if they do 100 pounds of flour at a time, so 3 pounds of flour belong to the Jew, so the din is you have to be mafish challah without a bracha on that. So let's say all of the bakery, all the people who work in the bakery are non-Jews. So you can't rely on a non-Jew to be mafish challah. Question, even if the non-Jew is mafresh challah, is it going to be chal? Will it take effect or not? This discussion in Tanoim, if a nochri is mafresh truma, Gemara at the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin, quotes a machlokes Tanoim, nochri is mafresh truma, whether it's chal or not. So you can't rely on a nochri, maybe even the hafrosh is not even chal. So you have to have a mashgiach there. No, it'll cost them a fortune to pay for a mashgiach. It's in Idaho, it's in Wyoming, whatever. You're going to get a mashgiach there. Where's he going to daven every day? There are no Jews within 1,000 miles. So how can you have a hashgacha over there? You can have hashgacha to know that the product is kosher. We check all the ingredients and show. We know that they're not going to change their formula. They're very successful making millions of dollars of this formula, so we leave it like that. But all the other, that's all the hashgachas are assuming. We check all the ingredients, and they tell us that they're not going to change the formula without notifying us. Okay, but the shaz, who's going to do the hafrashas chal? So what they sometimes do is, they get tevel matzahs, they have a matzah company, bakes a whole bunch of matzahs, a special run of matzahs, and these matzahs, they're not mafresh challah from them, and then they have a box of these matzahs in the bakery, in the bake shop, with right near the oven, and then the kashrus organization, located in Baltimore, and New York, New Jersey, wherever the kashrus organization is. So one of the rabbanim will be kurishem challah every day. He'll say, they have a whole nusach worked out. If you hold the box of matzahs with the nutritional panel on the right side, so the first has approximately 11 matzahs in a box or something like that. So they'll declare that the first square of whatever, going from the, you have to be kovei amokum. What are you kovei shem challah? You can't just say I'm mafresh challah. You got to say what are you mafresh challah? You don't have to be there to pick up the challah. To be mafresh, I can declare from a distance. I can say, but I have to designate a clear smokum. So I'll say the top square on the right hand side of the top matzah with the nutritional panel held on the right side. Right. So you say the top square on the top matzah. And you have to say how large it should be. It's an eighth of an inch by an eighth of an inch, a quarter of an inch by a quarter of an inch. Whatever you say, half an inch by half an inch, whatever. So you say that should be challah on the first batch of dough that that will be done on what's today, Wednesday,
sure.
And then how often do they bake? How many batches of dough do they have? So they have a few every day, two every day, five every day, whatever, depending how big the place is. So you say, and the next square going from right to left on the top row, half an inch by half an inch should be challah on the next batch that they're going to make. And the next square should be challah next batch. And you make a declaration in advance. When you finish the top row, say you want to go down. Then you want to go around. Then you want to go up. Then you want to go to the second row. Go down the second row, sides on, until you finish the first matzah. Then you declare that the top corner, and you figure out how many hafrashas you can do, a few hundred hafrashas you can do. You figure out how much are you saying. You're giving, give an inch by an inch, so you're going to have less hafrashas. You give a half an inch by half an inch, you have more hafrashas. Give a quarter of an inch by a quarter of an inch, you can have even more hafrashas than that. So you calculate how many hafrashas challah it's possible to have. And then what are you going to do when you're going to use up the whole box of matzahs? Then you're going to burn the whole thing. This whole box of matzahs is going to be challah. You're going to burn the whole thing. So the question is, if the matzah company who baked all these matzahs designated these, none of this batch of matzah is ever going to be eaten by any human being or by any dwarf. It's not even an Yitzhak Lovel. We're just going to use this. This is tevel. And all the stuff that they have in the bake shop is tevel. So the din is, you can be mafresh in one tevel on the other, provided that it's the same min. If they're using wheat flour, and these matzahs use wheat flour, so wheat on wheat, you can be mafresh. If these matzahs that we have are wheat flour, and they're making with barley or with oats, oatmeal cookies or something, then you can't be mafresh min al shein min. So you have to have a different, you have to have a box of oat matzahs then to be mafresh chal on that. So if the matzah company produced matzahs, none of which are going to be, none of the matzahs are going to be. So that's a question. Is it really tevel? I plan, the end of the day, I'm going to burn all of the matzahs that they baked. No one's going to eat any of the matzahs. So maybe it's not tevel in the first place. So the only time you can be mafresh from the tevel and the matzah, in the box of matzahs, on the tevel that they're making in the bake shop, is only if this is tevel and that's tevel. But if this one is not oimed lachila, nothing is going to be oimed lachila. It's all going to be burned as challah tmeo. So then maybe it never became tevel in the first place. So the question is, the Mishnah speaks about isus haklovim if you don't know and plans to eat any of it. Bizman shaharoi mochel mameno, then it's chayim and challah. Bizman shein haroi mochel mameno, not chayim and challah. Yerushalmi adzan, that the only time it's potam and achallah is if they needed it, it has a abnormal shape. If it has a normal shape, the tevel matzahs look like regular matzahs. It's manufactured by one of the matzah companies. And they make a run, special run, only tevel, normally they're mafresh challah. All the matzah companies, it says on the box of matzahs that they're mafresh challah. Normally they're mafresh challah, they're Jewish companies. No, Manashevitz, whatever. It's basically all the same company. There's only two matzah companies in America. There's Streitz, and then all the other companies are all the same. It's one company that has 10 different names. Manashevitz and Goodman's and what else? And what are the other companies? Everything. No, Yehuda is an Israeli company. No, not here. No, machine matzahs. Horowitz. So it's all the same company. It's all one factory. They just put on different labels. It's probably against the antitrust laws. But I don't know. The only other company in competition is Streitz, very tiny company. And all the other matzah companies, it's one company with different labels they put on the thing. So they're normally, it's run by Jewish people. They have Jewish workers there all the time. So they're always mafresh challah in the state of dough before it goes through the machines. But if they're going to be mafresh challah, so the matzahs are not going to be tevel. That's not going to help to solve the problem if a kashrus organization wants to give hashgacha somewhere where they're no Jews. So that's not going to help. So they encourage them that they should have one run, very tiny run, but they're going to bake a whole batch of matzahs, let everything go through, and everything is going to be tevel. And they're not going to be mafresh chal. If everything is tevel and they bake it, doesn't it make the baking tin treif? It has a bliya of tevel. So it doesn't make the bliya, the Mishnahis talk about that. If you bake tevel, if you weren't mafresh chumas and maises, you weren't mafresh chal from the bread, and you baked it in a pan, so the whole pan is treif. So then whatever you're going to bake afterwards is going to become treif. And even if you wait till it'll be Eina Ben Yomo, but Lechatchila not supposed to use a treif kli, it's Eina Ben Yomo. even though it doesn't ask the b'di'evet, but l'chatchili not allowed to do that. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Yerushalmi that there is a possibility to be mafrish chala al trumas ha'maisus on a b'liya also. So they, after they'll make a run of this tevel matzah, so they'll take one of the matzahs and they'll be mafrish chala on that one matzah. They have, let's say, 100 matzahs. So 99 matzahs they're not going to eat. 99 matzahs they're going to save in the different kashrus organizations, and they're going to use it to be mafrish chala. And one matzah is going to be one matzah, at least one matzah you got to eat. So from the one matzah that they're going to eat, they're going to be mafrish chala on that one matzah. He says explicitly, I only want this chala to be chal on this one matzah, and on the bliya there's balua and all the pots and the pans and the baking tins. And the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a Yerushalmi that that's legitimate. There is such a thing as hafrashas trumas ha'maisvis on a bliya and a pot. But the shaila is, if melechatchila, this is what we have in mind, the 99 matzahs are not going to be eaten by any human being, not going to be eaten by dogs either. So does it become tevel? Because I baked 100 matzahs and I plan to eat one of them, so everything becomes tevel. If I plan in advance not to eat, none of the 99 are going to be eaten. So the Rishalmi said the only time it's potter, if ein aray machlem amenu is potter, is only if it's asor kilimudim. If it was made like fancy matzahs, regular, same as regular matzahs, same machinery, so then Yerushalmi says chayiv. But the question is, do we really paskin like the Yerushalmi b'toras v'adai, or just as a chumrah, that we're machmer to be mafrish? Questionable. Anyway, so this gemara, that's the ikad the amen, the hamad the handaka, so that's what the Rabbeinu Yoni gives the second pshat. The first pshat he gives is what the Aruch HaShulchan adopted. That if you bake something that's only eaten as a nash, it's not normal that people are kaveh suda on it. So the first pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah is that that's not called lechem, it's not chayim echal. It's problematic. What if someone is kaveh suda? Then he's going to say amoitzi, but he's still going to be potter from chalom. So how can that be? It's problematic. So that's why he gives a second pshat, dika di amino, the hamad ahandaka means it's not oimel lachil osodom at all. Not oimel lachil osodom. So it's not called lechem, that we understand.
The
mafrish in advance based on a taisvis in Nazir that the Mechaber paskins like. Taisvis in Nazir, the Gemara says in Nazir, you cannot appoint a shaliach on an issue that you yourself cannot do. Let's say I fell in love with a non-Jewish girl. So you can't be Mekadosh this non-Jewish girl. So you have to wait till she's gone through conversion. Okay. So it's going to take her a couple of months until she goes to classes to learn about what she's supposed to learn, and she's going to go through the Geirus. So, and I'm going away to Eretz Yisrael. So I'm afraid she's such a tachshit, this girl is such a wonderful girl, I'm afraid someone else is going to chapais the girl. So if I'll give her a ring now that she's not Jewish, and I'll say, Harei mekudeshes li, lachashet tizgairi. So the Mishnah says that that's considered dovish laboliyot. So according to Rav Meir, she would be Mekudeshes. Rav Meir holds you can make a kinyan on a dovish laboliyotam, likishayobaliyotam. When we paskin that it's not acceptable. So the Gemara says, okay, so I won't give her the ring now and say, Hariyat Mekudeshes li lachashet tizgairi. I'll give the ring to a friend of mine who's married. I don't trust him either. If he's not married, I don't trust him either. He may decide to marry the girl. So give a ring to a friend of mine who's married already. So he's not going to be interested in marrying the girl. And I say, the day that the girl converts, you give her the ring and you say, Hariyat Mekudesh is on my behalf. So the Gemara says, you can't do that either. Milsa dihiu la matzi ova shaliach la matzi mash. That's an important Gemara in Nozid a few days. If you can't do the maisa now yourself, so you can't appoint, you don't have the bailas, to appoint the shliach to do the kiddushin on your behalf either. That's the Gemara. So Tosis is bothered with a kasha. The women do it all the time. The women have Jewish maids in the house. And the woman goes shopping, whatever, she's running around town, and she asks the maid to bake cake and cookies and challahs for Shabbos, whatever. And she tells the maid, be mafresh challah on everything. And the balabasta, everybody relies on the maid. Now the maid doesn't own the stuff. The maid is only acting to do the hafrashas challah as a shaliach of the owners of the home. So, and the balabasta herself doesn't have the ability to be mafresh challah. A mafresh challah is a kemach. If you mafish chala and state a flour, so it's not chal. You can't begin to be mafish chala until you already made an isa out of it. You have to have at least in Sinas Hamayim, and then you do the Elisha later on. So Tosfos is bothered with the Kasha, Maisim Mechol Yoim, that they used to have Jewish maids in the home, religious Jewish maids. The wife would go run around the town, shopping, whatever, and she would ask the maid to bake cakes and cookies and bread and to be mafresh challah. We assume that the shlichus is good. How can you appoint a shliach? It's a milsa diyal amotzi ovi shliach lamotzi mashmi. So Tosfos quotes the answer from the Rabbi Natam, and the Mechaber Paskins like that Rabbi Natam. And nobody on the page in Yeridea disagrees. Tosfos quotes in Nozid Daf Yibes, quotes the Rabbi Natam, Milsa de'iyu la'matzi yovid means that it's impossible for you to be mafrish challah now. There's nothing you can do now. I can't be mekadosh the girl, she's not Jewish. I can't be mafrish challah now. It's only kemach. But over here by the kemach, the balabasta has the ability right now to take water, mix it into the kemach, and make an isa out of it and to be mafrish challah. It's biyodo. So the Gemara says, whenever you have something that's biyodo, that's not called the dovish la'boliyom. So Rabbi Natam says, this is considered biyodo also. So since it's not Alpidin is not called Davish Labaliyolam, so the Balabasta has the ability to appoint the Mishareses, the Jewish Mishareses, as a Shliach to be Mafrishkal. So this, the Mechaber quotes this in Shulchan Aruch. So this is what they do in a lot of bakeries. They have the Mashgiach comes once a month, or whatever, and his Kurishem Chala, he leaves a matzah, and his Kurishem Chala in advance on all the Isis that they're going to make in the course of the week. He knows that they do batches of dough three times in the course of the week. Or if it's a big place, they do 10 times a day. They have 10 different eases, 100 different eases a day. Depends how big the bakery is. So he says in advance, they make him a shliach. The balabas makes him a shliach. So if the balabas didn't even buy the flour yet, if the bakery didn't even buy the flour yet, so that's mamash adovish lo baliyod. So that's not biyodo of the balabas to be mafrish challah. But if the balabas owns the flour and he has a faucet, he can turn on the faucet and get water, and he can easily make all the eases he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to make 100 batches today. Where's he going to get customers for 100 batches? He makes one batch of dough. He makes cake and bread and cookies three times a week he makes it. He makes 10 times a week, whatever. He doesn't want to make everything today. But theoretically, he could really make 100 eases today with all of the flour that he has. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like. That Tosfos and Nozer, that's considered biyodoi. And Kol She biyodoi is not called the Dovish Labo Liyolim. So the Mele, you could be mafrish in advance. The one is Ma'ar on this is the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish writes that even though nobody on the page says boo, in Yoridei, Hilchas HaFrosh HaSchala, he says, this is a big machlekes in the Dorim. And Daf Lamed Dalet Lamed Beis, I think he calls. So he says, and most of the Rishonim don't agree with the Rabbi Natam. Ablezer Mimitz quotes this from the Rabbi Natam in the Tosfos on the side of the Daf and the Dorim Lamed Dalet Lamed Beis. Most of the Rishonim hold that it's Mamash Adovish Labaliyon. The Yoda doesn't help when the thing is absolutely Adovish Labaliyon. The Yoda helps if there's a psahalachic problem, a slight problem, but not if it's absolutely Adovish Labaliyon. So the Chazon Ish Tain is that he thinks that Rov HaRishonim would not accept this position. So that's a question, is it right to rely on that? So some of the kashrus organizations will make a double hafrosha. They'll make a hafrosha in advance, ala tanai, they'll make this whole declaration. We hereby being mafrish chala, the first corner and the upper corner, the first square and the upper corner, and so on the first batch of dough. And the second, going from right to left, the second square, and you designate the side should be for the second batch of dough. And the third square, going from right to left, should be for the third batch of dough, and so on and so forth. Keep on going. So they make the declaration in advance. According to the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, everything is fine. And then, to satisfy the taina of the Chazon Ish, that he holds that that's not valid, Chazon Ish holds that the Shulchan Aruch should not have quoted that opinion. We really shouldn't pass like that. So the rabbi, who is connected with the Kashrus organization, will make another hafrosha every day. So Shabbos and Yom Tov, he can't make another hafrosha. Sometimes this company is baking on Shabbos and Yom Tov also. The Shabbos Yom Tov, he's not going to be able to make another hafrosha. But after Havdalah, so he'll be able to make a hafrosha, he'll say, the corner, the square that I designated last month, that it should be challah, for today's batch, we're holding by batch 568, so he'll say, the square that I designated, I hereby declare that it should become challah. He'll declare again a second time. So whatever was eaten up already, so far found, whatever the people ate up, so you can't be mafresh challah on that. Challah tzchutzla, so then you can even be mafresh after the people ate. It will help. Strictly speaking, it will help. As long as there's something left now. As long as they didn't eat up the whole batch of whatever they baked. As long as something is around. Yeah, the dinim of challah are very relevant. Bizman hazeh. We have to be mafish challah in America. Mishnah is like that. Challah min ha-Torah is a mitzvah atluya baretz. It's considered one of the agricultural mitzvahs. Even though we explained, even though it doesn't really depend where the flour grew, where the grain grew, it depends where you're doing the lisha. If you use Israeli flour in America and you make anisa in America and you bake it, then it's only chayv v'challah mid rabbanan. If you use American flour that grew in America, you use it in Eretz Yisrael and you make anisa, then it's chayv v'challah, that's chalas Eretz Yisrael. So even though it doesn't depend on where the grain grew, it depends on where you do the blila, where you do the lisha. So it really shouldn't be considered a mitzvah tluy baretz, but nonetheless, that's the halacha. The challah is considered a mitzvah tluy baretz. So min ha-Torah, the mitzvah of challah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rabbanim, the Tanoim, introduced, says Beferish and Mishnayos. They introduced the mitzvah of challah all over the world. So these Gemaras are very important, very relevant halacha l'mais. So what was the third kind of third interpretation? And all three are quoted la'alocha. Abai says that Trisa is not chayim challah. So the third version was Lechem ha'aser l'kutach. Lechem ha'aser l'kutach means I have these croutons that we never eat the croutons by themselves. This, the normal use of the croutons is you throw it into kutach and people dip in their fish or they dip in their flesh into this kutach and they eat it. So it's oimed l'achila, but it's not oimed l'achila b'toras lechem. It's oimed l'achila as you're going to dip in whatever you're dipping in. And part of the lechem is going to get attached to what ultimately you're going to eat, but it's not going to be eaten with Torah's lechem. It's going to be eaten with Torah's akutach. So that's also like Issa Saklovim. That Issa Saklovim is man she'en haray mechlem hemenu. If it's not intended for human beings to eat from it, so then it's not called lechem. So here it is intended that it should be eaten, but not with Torah's lechem. It's going to be eaten with Torah's kutach. So the Gemara says that doesn't count. So then the Gemara says, like the Yerushalmi said, when you get to the Issa Saklovim, that's only provided. The Gemara says, "Astir v'hatani chay b'chala." Lech ma'aser l'kutach is chay b'chala. The Gemara says, "Ma'aser machichem ala depends. Asan ka'avim chayovim kelimudim is turm. It depends what the shape is. The only time you're putter if it's not aimed la'achil asadam is if ma'aser machichem ala is muchach mitocho from the shape of the bread that is not oimed l'achila saroyim, or over here it's not oimed l'achila b'toras maichel, it's only oimed l'achila b'toras kutach. So then it'll be potter. So this here the Bavli says the same as the Yerushalmi. So we heard that we should follow that Yerushalmi b'toras vaday. Whenever you have a Yerushalmi and we don't know what the Bavli holds about it, so we're not sure. We're not exactly sure whether we should follow the Yerushalmi or not. But here we heard this Bavli is saying the same thing as the Yerushalmi said on the Mishnah v'isa saklovim. That it's only potem and achala if it's ma'aser machichem alai. The same lashon appears in the Yerushalmi. I heard that should be accepted. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch like that. So here, Rashi has a different pshat. What? Why is lechem ma'aser l'kutach? Why is it potter? The pshat that I said I think is also the Rabbi Yoni says that pshat. Lechem ma'aser l'kutach. It's not intended to. You didn't intend that it should be eaten. B'toras lechem, the intention was that it's going to be eaten b'toras kutach. So that's not called b'zman shaharoi mochlem heimenu. But Rashi writes a different word. Ein ofemos b'taner ele b'chama. So what's taka the din if you have bread that you bake in the sun? So bishul b'chama in Hilchos Shabbos is not called bishul. In fechiv chala you have to have afiyah. Afiyah has to be afiyah b'tanur. The Gemara in Pesachim quoted the pasuk from the Teichacha. Ba'alfu esen noshim lachmachem b'tanur rechot. So the Gemara says that's a halacha, that it's only called lechem if it's baked in a tanur or something very similar to a tanur. So that's what Tosis quotes the top of Lamed Chesem and Aleph. Tosis quotes from the sugya in Pesachim daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. There's a detail machlekes, an important machlekes, but it's basically only a detail. Detail machlekes to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, exactly what's considered dumya de tanur. If you had, let's say, a tanur, you're baking the lechem inside the oven, and there's heat all over. What if you're baking the lechem on top of the oven? If it'll work. sometimes just won't work. The bottom will get crust and the top will still be raw. See, it's not lechem. So you're not gonna, no one's going to eat it. But somehow you'll succeed in having a container on top of the oven, not inside the oven. And ur mahal tachtov, there's a fire on the bottom. And it'll get baked and it'll be edible. So the Gemara says if it's hirsiach for the besof hidbik, at first you had your baking tin on top of the oven. And you had it sitting there before you put the dough, before you put the ruach chalas on top of it. Here is siach. You heated it first with the besof hidbik. That's what Tosfos quotes over here. And then you put the raw dough on top of it. So that everybody agrees. Bein the Rosh Lakish, bein the Rabbi Yochanan. Everybody agrees that that's considered like a tanur. Tanur is labdavki. You don't have to dafke bake it inside the inside of a tanur. You bake it on top of a stove and it's going to work. And it'll all be roi lachila. So it's also called tanur. But if hidbik for the besof is siach, if he puts the raw dough, he makes the shape of a challah and he puts it in the baking tin. He puts the baking tin on top of the stove and then it starts getting hot. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Whether that's called dumi de tanur or it's not dumi de tanur. And it's a machlekes Rabbi Shainim. Normally the Gemara says whenever, the Gemara says in the beginning of Perek HaChelitz, whenever there's a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Omar Rava, whenever there's a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we always pass like Rabbi Yochanan. With three exceptions to the rule, we'll be passing like Reish Lakish. That's what Tosfos says. We should pass like Rabbi Yochanan. That it is Chai ben Challah. Hidbik with the Besurf Siach is also Chai ben Challah. And the Rishonim quote that the Bahag passed for some mysterious reason. Bahag decided to pass like Reish Lakish. But it's not Chai ben Challah. Okay, so that's a Shad al Halacha what the din is. So here Tosfos is discussing this Rashi. Rashi says that the Lechem Ha'asi Lekutach is Potter from Challah. Because it has an afiyo bechama. However, he did that trick. Now the chama is hot enough. How hot is the sun? The sun is 500 degrees hot. We would all get burned to a crisp. So even on a hot day, he says it's 100 degrees temperature. 100 degrees temperature is not enough to cook. Leave a raw potato in the sun, it's not going to get cooked. If you leave raw dough in the sun, 100 degree temperature, it's not going to get cooked. It's going to remain just as raw as it was before. So Mustambi has a magnifying glass or something. I don't know how he's doing this trick, that he's doing the Bishul Bechama. But apparently there is some trick how to do Bishul Bechama. So the halacha says that Bishul Bechama is not called an afiyah. That's not dumya. The pasuk says, well, for es and ashmach lachem etaner echad, has to be an afiyah. Bishul Bechama. Afiyah Bechama doesn't count. So that's a problem over here. According to Rashi, that's what we're talking about. You're doing the afiyah bechama, and the Gemara says sometimes you are chayv, sometimes you're not chayv. How can it be? If asur ki limudim, yipot, if asur ki oven, then you are chayv. What are you talking about? Afiyah bechama, you shouldn't be chayv at all. Very strange what Rashi says. So that's why the other Rishonim give this Rabbi Yehuda, gives the other pshat. No, lech masa lekutach is pater, you're baking it in an oven. But lech masa lekutach is pater, because it's not oimed lachilo sodom etoras lechem. No one's going to eat it as lechem. It's oimed to serve as not even as croutons. It's oimed croutons, the way we eat croutons. To eat the croutons as lechem. Little particles of lechem in the middle of the vegetable salad. A little particles of lechem in the middle of the soup. You throw the croutons in the soup. Here we're talking about the thing's going to be thrown into a kutach, into a dip, into a sausage. That's not going to be nechel b'taras lachem. It's a completely different reason why it's potter. Not that the tour is because it's going to have an afiyah b'cham. So here the Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natam. That's what we discussed already. Rabbi Natam has this fantastic, fantabulous pshat. He gets all the gemaras. Everything fits into place. It's just chaval. We don't paskin like this. Rabbi Natam is absolutely rejected. And Shulchan Shach says he should be machmer for the Rabbi Natam. But basically, we don't paskin like the Rabbi Natam. You had this fantastic pshat. We have this strange Mishnah. We don't know what it means. In Perek Aleph and Challah, Mishnah Hey. Chilasa Isa v'sofa Sukkon and Chai b'Challah. Chilasa Sukkon v'sofa Isa Chai b'Challah. The only time it'll be potter is if Chilasa Sukkon and v'sofa Sukkon. So what's the beginning and what's the end? What's the Pirish Amilos over here? That's the question. What's the Pirish Amilos? Then the Rabbi, that's question number one. Then question number two. The Gemara, the whole sugi there himself from the Aflam and Zion is working on the premise that you need afiyah b'tanur, that before you do, if you don't do an afiyah b'tanur, then you're not chayv and challah, and tzemach leg zabech, and mishlokish the details, what has the status of a tanur. If hidbik for the besof yisiyach is a machlokish, Yisich Lebesav Hidbik, they all agree that that it's Chai B'chal. So you see from that Gemara the emphasis is placed on the Afiyah, and then the Rabbin and Tam says, and we have the Gemara Sanhedrin also like that, but the Ganef, the Frum, a Ganef, he's Frum Ben Adam Lamakam, but he does them Dur Ben Adam Lachaber. Harish Gozal Sosha Chitim, Tchonam Afor, the Hifish Men. He bakes it and then he's mafresh chal. What is he mafresh chal after he baked it? The pots and pans became treif because of tevel. So he's going to have to say a mafresh chal on the bliya also. So why doesn't he do like every normal balabasta does? He mafresh chal when it's in the state of dough. You don't wait till after you bake it. So if not, Gemara would appear. The Ganef just violates Ben Adam Lachaver, but Ben Adam Lamakam is a very religious guy. That's how some interpret the pasuk in today's said. V'anshi stom roim v'chatoim l'Hashem yom. So some said, v'anshi stom roim v'chatoim. There were evil people, benon l'chaver, but l'Hashem yom. As far as benon l'makim, they were very, very extremely observant. Remember Professor Levy? He always used to say like that. V'anshi stom roim v'chatoim, they were evil, benon l'chaver, but l'Hashem yom. Benon l'makim, they were extremely, extremely medaka. So the Rabbeinu Tam says like that. The Ganef is medaktik ben adam lamakom. So the Gemara says the Ganef is mafresh chal after he did the afia. And the Gemara says he did the afia. Then on the other hand, the Mishnah is talking about everybody normal. Noik shabaylam. The balabasta is mafresh chal when it's in a state of dough. So which is it? What's going on? So he says, so dot zvei dinim. There are two routes to become lechem. Either chilasa means isa, and sofa means afia. So if you had a blila ovo, you had a lisha, then it already became lechem, even if you're going to do a bishul later on. If you're going to have bishul ayde mashkin, it'll be called the lechem. And if you did a blila raka, a batter, you poured it, it doesn't need, it's not a lisha, it's a blila raka, so then it won't get a shame lechem unless you're going to do an afiyah later on. So that's how the Rabbein and Tamfer emphasize all the Gemara. So then Taisus says, and originally, mitchilo hayaratzalayim, Rabbein and Tam, on the first wide line in Taisus. And Metchila originally, the Tosis is on the bottom of Lam and Zayin on the base. And Metchila originally, this whole shtickle Torah with the Tzvei Dinim, with the Lisha, with the Afia, either A or B, this is only a Din of Chala, because it's a Mishnah Chala, and all the rice that he has are only from Chala, but it's not Negea to Hamoitzi. And Hamoitzi, if he didn't have an Afia, if it had a Bishul, so how can he call it Lechem? It had a Bishul. And then he backed out and he said, no, because the Gemara equates the two, our Sugya. Making an equation, whatever is sometimes hamoitzi is always chay b'chal, even if it's going to be mezonos. Whatever is never hamoitzi, if it can never become hamoitzi, then it's not chay b'chal. So you see that there's an equation between the two. Whatever is lechem for one is lechem for the other. Sometimes it'll be mezonos because it'll be lechem, a subcategory, it'll be pasah b'kisnan. But basically it's also lechem. So the Rabbeinu Tam originally thought that it's only a din chala. Then he says, v'loy nehira. Then he realized that here his original Havamina is incorrect. The Holiel Katani, it's all an equation. You see from the Gemara that you make an equation between the Chiyuv Chala and the Brach of Hamoitzi. Rabbein Tam came up. This Rabbein Tam is quoted in Yeridei and Hilchas Chala, and it's quoted in Kuf Samaches and Hilchas Hamoitzi. So it came, the same Chiddush applies to Hamoitzi as well. So the Mechaba quotes it, and then he says that we don't accept that opinion. We pass like the Ramban. What's the Ramban? Ramban says that it's irrelevant whether it has a blila ovo or blila rako. It doesn't matter whether it's a batter that pours or it's a dough that doesn't pour. You have to pick it up with your fingers, a thick dough. In either case, the main thing is it has to have an afiyah. When it has an afiyah, then it's chayv and chala. How does the Ramban read the Mishnah, Tchilosa Isa v'sofos avgana? So he reads it differently. Tchilosa Isa means when I originally mixed the dough or I made the batter, I planned on doing an afiyah. Tchilosa Isa. I planned on doing an afiyah that's going to give it a shame lechem. Then, v'sofos avgana, in the end of the day, I didn't do an afiyah. I did a bishul. So the Ramban says, pshat in the Mishnah, so then it's chay v'chala. Since at the time of the blila, time of the lisha, that's when the chiv chal is supposed to be chal. At that time, I planned to do an afiyah, so it's ready in the chay v'chala. So it doesn't become potter from chala later on just because I cook it. Ayidei mashkin. Or if it's Tchilosa Suvganin, originally I either make a Blila Ovo or Blila Raka, irrelevant. Tchilosa means my original plan was Suvganin, I originally planned to cook it. I planned originally not to do an Afiyah, so it never became this Chai B'chala. But then, Sofo Isa, at the end of the day, I did bake it in an oven. So if you baked it, then even if it didn't have a shame Lechem before, it becomes a Lechem later on. That's how the Ramban reads the Mishnah, that the only time you'll be potter is if it's Tchilos Subganin, Lesofos Subganin. So that's the Shita that we accept Lalacha. The Mechaba quotes the both Shitas. And the Mechaba says, we paskin like the Ramban, we don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. Shach just says you should be choishish for the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Dehainu, let's say you made a batter and you're going to bake it. So according to the Ramban, according to the way we pass on Shulchan Aruch, you can put in a spoon and take out a little bit and be mafresh challah while it's in the state of batter. You can be mafresh challah before you do the afiyah. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, you can't be mafresh challah when it's in the state of batter. It's not tevel yet, because it has a blila raka. It's just a batter. So you have to wait till after the afiyah to be mafresh then. So the Shach recommends you should be choshish for the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, lechumra. But Mikra Din, we really don't pass like the Rabbeinu Tam. So then Tosis writes on the last line, Rabbeinu Chil Zal, the last line of Lamed Zayinim Beis, a new topic. Rabbeinu Chil, one of the Balei HaTosis, Ha'im Esupik, and Ver Mishayish, Chayovim Bechala. Nobody knows what this thing is. They don't have any, the Laz books don't know what it is. What's the issue? Mishum Oysa Isasa Botzik De Lechalk of Turim and Achala. The Leiz Beish Yura. There's a minimum shear that you have to have in order to be Chayim and Chala. So there's a Mishnah in Chala that says, I have 10 pounds of flour. L'chola deis, I have enough. I have 10 pounds of flour, and I mix it all together with water, not with meperis, with water. So it's not good. So I'm chayv enough rashas chala. So it says no. If I have in mind l'chalko to divide it up into smaller units, in each I'm going to divide it up into five units. Each unit's only going to have 2 pounds of flour. Each unit is only going to have 2 pounds of flour. So if I plan to divide it up before I bake it, then the din is that you're not chayv chal. He plans to divide it up before the afiyah. It's not going to have one big afiyah together. So it's potam and achala because it's lacking a shear.
Isn't that done for every time?
So we always do like that. What do you mean? Your mother bakes achala that has 3 pounds of flour. We should go at a chasana, a bris, you make like that. Who makes such a gigantic? We always do like that. You make cookies. You're going to make a cookie 3 pounds of flour. How is that possible? So the poshup shot in the Mishnah, the Achrayim Taina, they don't know what Tosis is talking about. You look at this, the Shuvim here there, say they don't understand what Tosis is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about a different thing. The Mishnah is talking about Kinneret Chalas. Mr. and Mrs. Kinneret, they mix flour with water, 50 pounds of flour with water. But they plan to sell it to different people. So each package of they sell raw dough. And all you have to do is buy it in the store and put it in the oven, and you do the afiyah. So ha'oysa isasai batse kedei lachalka to different people. And each person is going to get a pachas mikashir. So no one is chai v'chala. I is dach tevel because by the Kinneret factory, when they needed the dough, they had 100 pounds of flour. No. It's almanas lachalik. He plans to be mechalikit for different people. But if one person is, I'm not going to give away the dough to anybody else. I'm going to bake each one at a different time. I make one big isa, 100 pounds of flour. And then I want to bake 2 pounds today, and the other 98 pounds of flour is going to sit in the freezer. And then next week, next Thursday, I'm going to bake for Shabbos, I'm going to bake another 2 pounds of flour. So if this 100 pounds is going to last me for 50 weeks. Every week I'm only going to bake 2 pounds of the flour. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, you are chayv and challah in such a case. Amanas l'chalak means l'chalak to different people. No one person is going to remain with the shir challah. But if it's one person, amanas l'chalak, he's not only is he certainly chayv and challah, the case that we just said now, that I'm going to bake 100 different challahs all at the same time. That's for sure. You don't need that one loaf of bread should have 5 pounds of flour. You don't even have to plan to do all the baking on the same day. I'm going to bake 2 pounds worth this week and 2 pounds next week, 2 pounds the next week, but everything belongs to me. So that's not called Amanas L'chalak. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tosis that the Rabbeinu Chil is Mesupik, and on the bottom of the page, the Pischit Shuvah quotes the later Achrayim from the 1700s, 1800s. They woke up and they said, what's going on over here? That's not what the Pirush HaMilas and the Mishnah is. Mishnah goes on Manas Lachalik to different people. This is a peladig of Tosis. We don't know what Tosis means. So he was mesupik what the din is, so he said you should be mafresh chala without a bracha. Achoyamatzach lika chala b'lei bracha b'shvil ha-sofek.
But why should it make a difference whether you're doing it for different people or one person? What's the swara to be machal?
I'm doing one big lisha together. It's all mine. I'm doing one big lisha. So when you do a lisha, you chayv an abashes chala. If you plan to bake it, I do plan to bake it. I'm going to bake everything. Some I'll bake this week, some I'll bake next week, some I'll bake the week after. But if you do for many different people, so I say, if one person is going to buy 3 pounds of flour, when you mix the flour with the water, so it gets bitter, it gets bigger. So it doesn't help that you're going to weigh it when you bring it home and you're going to weigh it. That doesn't. It's going to weigh 3 pounds. It doesn't prove that it has 3 pounds of flour. It could be that it weighs 3 pounds because of the water that was added on. It depends how much it weighed when it was in a state of flour. It really doesn't depend on the weight. It's a little bit inaccurate, Rav Henkin said between 3 and 5 pounds of lime, mafish potato bracha, 5 pounds mafish with a bracha. It's also a little not meduya, it's not 100% accurate. So really, the shear shouldn't really depend on the weight, it should really depend on the volume. So it should depend how fine they ground up the flour. If you grind it up finer, then you have a lot of empty air space over there, so you have less volume of the grain. If you grind it coarse, there are different ways to grind flour. Different flours, some flour is more fine than other flours. But that's what he said, approximately, between 3 or 5 pounds he mafish without a bracha, and after 5 pounds mafish with a bracha. So if one person buys 10 kineret chalas, and he bakes them all, then that person has to be mafish chal. But if a person only buys 1 or 2, he doesn't buy 3 pounds of flour of chala, then the Mishnah says, you're not chayim chal. It doesn't have a shame b'chamal. Yeah. So then the Gemara repeats the din, this din that we discussed all the time. Top line. Omle Abay the Rav Yosef. Hi, Kuvah Di'ara. What bracha did he say on it? He said before that Kuvah Di'ara is Chai V'Chala. Troknen is Chai V'Chala. And Trisa is not Chai V'Chala. So if it's Chai V'Chala, maybe you should say Hamoitzi. So the Rebbe tells him, Rav Yosef tells Abay, me, Saris Nahama, who you think that since it's Chai V'Chala. So it has a din lechem, and you say Hamoitzi lechem. That's nah, Sinishke Nahama. Nahama means bread. You think that it's bread, it's bona fide 100% lechem, because it's chai mechala. No, it's only guvla bi'almahi. It's lechem. If it wouldn't be lechem, it wouldn't be chai mechala. But it's pasah b'kistin. So when you get to this din derabbanon, mezainis versus amaitzi, it's a subcategory of lechem. It's only pasah b'kistin. But if you cut their suit on it, then it becomes amaitzi lechem. And it's in shalosh brachos. That's the din. The Tosis quotes a suffix. The Tosis Mazutra. Tosis has a suffix. They used to have some kind of a cracker that was so thin, it was so light. At so many air spaces, they had pockets. There are different crackers today. So some of the crackers have more body than others. Others have a mamish air space all over the place. You just hold it, the whole thing falls apart. The whole thing crumbles in your fingers. And others you have to chew in order to crumble. They're not going to crumble in your fingers. The Tosis says mesupik, if you have cake or cookies and you eat a couple of pounds, you eat a couple of cakes, so that's kviya suda, so that's hamoitzi. But if you have this fluffy nilish that has so much air space in it, maybe it doesn't even help if you kaveh suda. Maybe that doesn't have a shame lechem at all. Then it wouldn't be chai mechala either. So that's what Tosis says. They're not sure. Mazuch and kavas sudas uchein nilish. He calls it Das Alei Mevarch Alei Hamoitzi, but it says in Taisa V'chein means it's the same as what we just said, the first two lines. But then you read it, it's not the same, it contradicts it. The first two lines in Taisa say that this nilish that they used to eat, especially on Purim, it was some kind of a cracker that has, it was so soft, it had a lot of air space in it, and it would fall apart in your finger. So the first two lines in Taisa, they say if you kaveh suda becomes amaitz, and then they say we're not sure if kaveh suda helps on that. Maybe even if you kaveh suda, it doesn't become amaitz. V'chein tziva haram. That's the shaila. This is some Rishonim say the re. They think it's a mistake. If it's the ram, then it's probably Maharam Rutenberg. Maharam Rutenberg was the end of the Baliyat Taisa. Every so often, Taisa quotes the Maharam Rutenberg. Most of the Tosafim were written in earlier generations. They're not going to quote a Maram Rutmerg. If this is the Maram Rutmerg, then it's a later Tosaf. Chen Siva Haram Bepurim. Shikav Sudasim on these Nilish. Levarcha Motzi on bread in advance. Gidei Lefatrim Ebrochshay Misufik. He's not sure whether this is a Kviyos or not. So the Mishanim explained, what's the Sufik? Because the thing is so fluffy. Maybe he doesn't even help if you kaveh suda. Like the Beis Yosef said on the Trisa. He said, even if you kaveh suda on the Gvil Merutach, it's not going to become Hamoitzi. So the Mamish doesn't have a Tzuras HaPas at all. Has no body at all. Okay, these dinim we discussed already 100 times, so we know. Good. Then the Gemara says, Vadim Yotzi Dechavasa B'Pesach. If you have this Kuvah Deyari, even though the Broch all year long is Mezoinus, unless you kaveh suda, but if you eat it on Pesach night, it is lechem. It's a subcategory of lechem. Pasavah b'kisnin. That's not a problem. It's pasavah b'kisnin, but it is pas. Pasavah b'kisnin is also pas. Lechem ani kvina be. Shai. Enough for the hamoitzi story. Now we're going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that on fruits you say bar pi hoetz, and on vegetables you say bar pi adam. So the shad is, what if you have dates? So if you eat dates in the original state, so you say bar pi hoetz. What if the dvash oozed out from the dates? Eretz Dovas Cholav Dvash is talking about not dvash dvorim, it's talking about dvash tamorim. And the Zayin Mashkim, Yad Shach Adam, so the Dalid, one of the Dalids is Dam, okay, and one of the Dalids is dvash. So the Mogar Avraham says there in Hilchas Natilas Yadayim, if you eat a Dovish and Tivula B'mashka, so you have to wash Natilas Yadayim in advance, so that you have to know which are the Zayim Mashkim. So at least off in Shulchan Aruch it says Dvash. So the Mogar Avraham quotes from the Rishonim that the Dvash over there is Dvash Devorim. That's not Dvash Tamorim. The Dvash in the Shivas Aminim Shenish Tapachem Hem Eretz Yisrael is Tamorim or Dvash Tamorim. The Chumash doesn't say Tamorim, it says Dvash, and it means Tamorim or Dvash Tamorim. But the dvash in the Zayin Mashkim, that a machshel lekabel tumah, that's the dvash devorim. Different din. Two different kinds of dvash. So the shayla is, when you eat this dvash from the tamarim, what bracha do you recite? Amar ma bravashi, hay duvsha de tamri, mevorachin elavi, shahakol nihiyeh bedvoroi. Why do you say shahakol? My time azeya bi almahu. It's only mashkim hayotzim min apri. We have a Mishnah Trumas, but there's a Machlekes Satanoim. The din is, that if you're Mafresh Truma, so it's only allowed to be eaten by a Kohen. If a Zar, a non-Kohen, eats Truma, so it's Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. Of course, if it's Truma Deraisa, it's only Truma Derabanan, and Shumas Chutzlor, it's Chalas Chutzlor, there's not going to be any. But if it's truma, if it's tevel deraisa, then it's going to be if it was tevel deraisa and the truma was truma deraisa, so a zar shachal truma is misa b'dei shamayim. So the Torah has a din, if a zar ochal truma b'shoigeg, so he needs a kapar. Let's say a person did an aver b'shoigeg, which if he would have done the nature of the aver as such, if he would have done the aver b'mezid, he would have been chayv kores. So then halacha requires that if he does the aver b'shoigeg, he has to bring a chatos. So here there's such a similar din. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Ayin Aleph makes such a comparison that chatos is to chatos b'shoigeg is to kores b'mezid. What chaymish is to misa b'dei shamayim. If a zar would have eaten truma b'mezid, he would have been chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. So if he eats a truma b'shoigeg, he violated a serious avera. So we don't just tell him, say avido, and you get off with it. No. You need to do something as a kapor. So you don't tell him he has to bring a chatos. Chatos is only if he dovish has done a koris. If it's a dovish has done a misa v'dei shamayim, so the Torah says he has to give ker mechamish. So there's a machlekes hatanoim over here. So here, let's say a zar will eat truma shel tamarim. So that they all agree. Rav Lezer and Bishul will all agree. A zar shochal truma shel tamarim b'shoigeg has to pay chamish. So we asked the question yesterday. How does he have to pay chaimish? We assume la aloha that the obligation to be machish shumas and maris is only menatoira on dog and tirish v'yitza. On all other fruits, it's only midirabon. All other fruits and vegetables, only midirabon. The Rambam does not agree to that. Maisa Yerek, the Gemara said the Pharisees is Zalami Rabban. So vegetables Zalami Rabban. Shadu, what about fruits?
Where it says Maisa Yilan is Rabban, when discussing Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Eliezer. And it says you couldn't have just said Halach Rabbi Akiva Chutzla, right? Because you might think that since Maisa Yilan is the Rabban.
The Gemara says that Maisa Ilan and Paris Ilan is the Rabban. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Maisa Ilan the Rabban.
Right.
Right.
That's, and it's talking about Ilan, which is the same thing that Orla's on.
Right. So that's what we assume the halacha, that Maisa by all Paris Ilan is only the Rabban. The Rambam does not hold like that. Well, how's the Rambam going to deal with that Gemara? I'm not sure. The Gemara says in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah that Maaser on Boxer is only with the Rabban. Boxer grows on a tree. So the Ravid says, you see that Paris Eilin is only with the Rabban. So the Rambam says, no, Boxer is Michael Bain. It's not Roy Lachilosal. So why Mafrish Shumas Maaser at all? It's Roy Lachilosal and Madi Atchak. Some crazy people do eat Boxer. But since it's not normal, so the Shumas and Maaser on Boxer is only with the Rabban. So that's the shot. The Rambam sheet is that all Paris Eilon in Eretz Yisrael, Trumas and Maisis is their Raisa. We assume only Dog Tirish V'Yitz. So the shot is over here. If someone is Mafrish Trumas and Maisis on Tamorim, on dates. So according to the way we pass, and the whole Chiyav HaFrash is only with the Rabbanah. So the whole thing is only Chal with the Rabbanah. The whole status of Truma on the Tamorim is only with the Rabbanah. So if a Zar would eat it, what should I have to say that he's Misav Dei Shammai? He's Misav Dei Shammai for violating an Aver de Rabbanah. So why does he have to give Chaimish? All the Tanaim agree. If the Tzar would have eaten the Tmorim Shal Truma, everyone agrees. Rav Lezer, Rav Shul would not dispute. Everyone would agree that the Tzar has to pay Karim Chaimish. The only machlokes they have is, what if the Tzar is going to eat the Dvash of the Tmorim? But the Mashkem HaYotzim in at Tmorim is Dinim Ki Tmorim or not? So Rav Lezer says the mashkma yoytzim from all Paris, dvash tamarim, yain tapuchim, apple cider, chametz of avonios, charmei Paris, any juice from any fruit that was declared as truma, so bizarre will eat it till bichayev kerem v'chaimish. And Reb Shua disagrees, and he holds only mashkam yoytzim and azesim and anovim. That's the machlekes hatanaim. The mashkam yoytzim and azesim and anovim is dinim kipri. That's still considered pri. And Rabbi Lezer holds that the mashma yotzim from all the Paris is considered pre. So that's usually awesome. Whenever there's a machlekes Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shua, the Gemara says Rabbi Lezer Shamutihu. Rabbi Lezer was from the Beis Shammai. So we really passing like Rabbi Lezer. The Gemara in the first parak in Nida has 6 cases. We passing like Rabbi Lezer. We rarely passing like Rabbi Lezer. Like we rarely passing like Beis Shammai. The Gemara just you count all the cases where we passing like Beis Shammai. Rare. Most of the time we passing like Beis Hillel. The Rosa, this machlek is a blazer, Rabbi Shua, we pass like Rabbi Shua, that the only time the Tzar is chayiv, kerem v'chaymesh, is on the mashkema yotzim and azesim and anovim, on all the other paris now. The mashkema yotzim from the other paris is not considered pri. So in the Mele, that's what Mar Barabashi says. You can't say barik pri who eats if you're eating the dvash from the tamarim. It's only Zeh B'Yalma. Zeh B'Yalma means in contrast to declaring that's dina kipri. It has a tam of the pri, but it doesn't have a shame of the pri, so it's not shach to say bari pri hoitz. It's not the pri itself. According to Rabbi Lezer, maybe you would say bari pri hoitz, an apple juice, an orange juice, and so on, and all the juices. But we pass like Rabbi Shua, that the only mashkema yotzman that has the status of pri is the mashkema yotzman azeis mano. That's what the Chazanish Tainus, the same should be true regarding hafrashas, trumas, and maisus. Let's say you have a company in Eretz Yisrael where they produce grapefruit juice or orange juice or apple juice. So Benoik Shabbalam, they make their grapefruit juice and then they're mafish shumas amaisis after they made it into juice. So the Chazon Ish says you can't do that. Since we pass like Rabbi Yeshua, that the mashkema yotzim from all the other papers except for Zeisman Novim does not have a shame pri. So he tells us that it's not shach to be mafish on the mashkema yotzim. When you blikor Hashem Truma, it won't have a din of Truma on it. It'll have an Issa Tevel and it won't have a din Truma. Because Truma has to be Chal on the Peri. So the Mashkema Yotzim only has a Shem Peri by Zeisim Anav, by the others it doesn't have a Shem Peri. That was a Tain of, that's what the Brisker Rav Tain did like that. So he said that he can't be machrish trumas and maisris on all of the juices after you squeeze them out already. It's too late. He said the company has to be machrish trumas and maisris when it's still in the state of fruits. You have to be machrish on the oranges, on the apples, on the grapefruits, and then you squeeze it out and you make the juice. But if you're going to squeeze out the juice first, then he says it's going to have an isetevo, and there's no way to be kurishim, because the shem truma can't be chal on it, because it doesn't have a shem pri. So the Chazon Ish disagreed with the Rabbah, but he said, how can that be? If you say that it doesn't have a shem pri, so it shouldn't have an isetevo. And if you say it has an isetevo, it's only shaykh to have an isetevo, if it's shaykh to be mafresh trumas and maisis. That's not possible, to have something that has an isetevo, which can't lend itself to tikkun, can't lend itself to afrashas trumas and maisis. How is that possible? So Radaba Lasalovechik proved from a Shita Mukubetzis in Menachos, in Perek Rabbi Shmuel. In Zvachim and Menachos, in the Vilna Shas, they have the Shita Mukubetzis printed on the side of the daf, on the side of the page. So they have, usually they have very brief comments. Once in a while they have a 10-line comment, a paragraph. So there's one innocuous, there's one little Shita Mukubetzis around daf Ayin or so, in Menachos, where the Shita points out, if I have something that was tevel and I planted it in the ground, so when it's now that it's planted in the ground, it's impossible to be mafresh trumas and maisis. But if someone will walk over to the tree and bite off from the fruit, so he'll be in violation of tevel. So Rav Elvel and the Shurman that daf, so Rav Elvel said, you see from the Shita Mukubetzis that it's possible to have something that has an isa tevel, even though it's impossible to be mafresh trumas and maisis. So it sounds like a harmless little comment, but that's his important comment to show. He wants to show that the Chazon Ish is not right. The Chazon Ish says, "Mimon of Shach." If you want to declare that it still has an Isur Tevel, you have to assume that it's still, you still have the possibility to be Mafresh Shumas and Maisis. Tevel, it only becomes Tevel if there's a Chiyav to be Mafresh. If there's no Chiyav to be Mafresh, there isn't an Isur Tevel. So when it was in the state of fruit, there was a Chiyav to be Mafresh. When you squeeze out the juice, so if the Briska Rav is right, then when it's in the state of Mashkem Ayotzim, we pass like Rabbi Yeshua. It doesn't have a shame free, so you can't make a hafrasha, so it can't retain an Isa Tevel. Isa Tevel has to disappear. Rav Avila said, why? In order to become Tevel in the first place, you have to have that it should have a shame free. So it had a shame free when it was the oranges or the grapefruits or the apples, they originally were pre. At that time it became an Isa Tevel, but to retain the Isa Tevel, you don't have to have that, it should retain a shame pri. As long as it once had an Isa Tevel, the Isa Tevel remains. And he proved it from his Shita Mukubetzis.
Is it just Mishum Tevel or is it Yotzim
and Alsim? Maybe Yotzim and Atevel. Maybe we'll call it Yotzim and Atevel.
So what was the
cousin of Steiner? Obviously, he held in Svar, it's impossible to have such a thing, that there should be an Isa Tevel which can't be fixed. Tevel by definition means it's mechus
atikun. But it's not just tevel, it just means a yotzer.
I mean, it started off like that. It started off with a chiyav hafrasha. And then once Yisra tevel sets in, so now it's going to remain, even if you're unable to be mafresh. Anachanam. I mean, that's the shah. So I think the common practice in Eretz Yisrael is they're all mekel. All the companies, they're all mafresh, the trumas and maisis, after they squeeze out the juice. They all rely on this Chazon Ish. And Rav Elvel had a starker tiny, he said that he doesn't think it's right. So getting back over here, what if someone would eat, if a zar means a non-kohen, if a non-kohen will eat the tamarim themselves, the tamarim shel truma, then they all agree, no machlokes b'lezer Rabbi Shimon, they all agree that the zar will be chayv to give kerem v'chaymish. Why does he have to give kerem v'chaymish? Kerem v'chaymish is b'shoigeg, needed as a kapara for the aver, which if he would have done it b'mezer, it would have been misa b'dei shamayim. Would there have been misa b'dei shamayim over here? If the whole din of afrasha by shar peiros is only midrabbanan, it's not Dolan Tirish Vitzer. It's Shar Peiros or Elon. So we paskin Lalach and Shulchan Aruch against that Rambam, that all the other Shar Peiros, all the other Peiros or Elon are only Chag and Shumas and Maisis Midi Rabban. So if the Tzar would have eaten it, there would not be Misa B'dei Shamayim. So why should there be Kerem V'chaymish? So that's the Ravid that we mentioned the other day. Yesterday, no? I think I mentioned it yesterday. The Ravid in the Kos of Shom. Right, Achidush. That even though Shar Peiros in Yerukas is an obligation to be Mafresh Trumas and Maisis, but if you are Mafresh, it's Chal Min HaTorah. We were speaking yesterday about Mitzvahs HaRishus. So I want to lead up to this Ravid. The Ravid has a Chiddush. He says, if you're mafresh trumas and maisis and anything other than talking to Rishi Yitzchak, but it grew in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no obligation to be mafresh, but there's such a thing as a voluntary hafrosh. As an enim mitzvah v'yosef, if you're mafresh trumas and maisis on tomorrow, the truma will be chal. It'll be chal menater. But then he tries to deal, then he's trying to guess, well, what will the dinim be of this truma that you weren't obligated to be mafresh, but you volunteered it? So the rabbit volunteers on his own. He thinks that if a zar will eat it, there will not be misa b'dei shamayim. If he eats it b'mezid, there will not be misa b'dei shamayim. But if he eats it b'shegig, he'll be chayv to give karem chaymish. So that's a bit of a problem. If there's no misa b'dei shamayim b'mezid, so why is there karem chaymish b'shegig? The Gemara says in Shabbos daf ayin aleph, then karem chaymish b'shegig is needed as a kapara, because if he would have done the aver b'mezid, there would have been misa b'dei shamayim. But if the Ravid says that if you mafris truma and sharminim, other than donga tirish v'itza, there is no misa b'dei shamayim for the zar who eats it, so why should there be a chiyuv to pay the karam b'chaymish? That's a problem. That's a problem in the Ravid. Anyway, Mustama, what you have to say is, most Rishonim assume not like the Ravid. Most Rishonim assume that a shar peris other than donga tirish v'itza, not only are you not obligated to be mafresh menater, even if you're mafresh, the hafrosh is only chal midi rabbanim. Everything is only midi rabbanim. The Ravid had a chiddush that it's chal menater, the truma is chal menater. The other Rishonim hold beferish, Rashi and Tosfos, in the beginning of Kiddushin, on Gimel Amud Aleph, they say beferish. And Tosfos in a few places has like that. The whole hafrosh is not chal at all menater. So you're talking just the topic of called the tikkun rabbanim came there. I said tikkun. They introduced hafroshas truma by shar peris other than dogon tirish v'yitzer. So if a zar will eat it, they can't introduce misa b'dei shamayim. That they don't have in their power. They don't control the world. The rabbis, they think they control the world, but they don't. So they can't kill a person. They can't make misa b'dei shamayim. If the bezer shalmaila didn't make. If the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't make it, did the raisa, so the rabbis can't make a misa b'dei shamayim. But Karem HaChemish, they can tell them, you gotta pay. But the Karem HaChemish is supposed to be a kapora for an avera that if you would have done it, b'mezid, it would have been misa b'dei shamayim. So we say, call the tikkun rabbanan came there, I said tikkun. Just like one who, the Torah says, one who eats truma b'shegig, a zar who eats truma b'shegig, has to pay Karem HaChemish. So one who eats truma the rabbanan b'shegig has to pay Karem HaChemish also, even though it really shouldn't have been so. You really should have said, since there's no misa b'dei shamayim, there's no misa b'dei shamayim with the rabbanon. There's no chorus with the rabbanon. There's no misa b'dei shamayim with the rabbanon. So we really should have said there shouldn't be any chaymish. But nonetheless, that's all the tanoim agree to that. If the zar will eat the tmorim shal truma, they all agree he's going to be chayiv to pay karem chaymish. Their argument is, what if he eats the dvash hatmorim, or the yain hatapuchim, or all the grapefruit juice, or the orange juice, all the ciders, and so on? So Rav Lezer holds that a mashkem ayotzim from anything have the same status as the original pri. And we don't pass like him, we pass like Rabbi Shua. The only two that retain the same pri are Azeisim Anovim, the mashkem ayotzim and Azeisim Anovim. All the others are not considered a pri.
When the Gemara says poris gerei shechem nechash and shavtos and nidos and those things, is that like a misav de shemayim derabbanan?
Kol mokum shenas nachachamim eneihem. So the rabbis, if the rabbis want to curse someone, Kilas Chacham is very serious. A bracha is a birchas hedyot is good. I don't know why they go to a chassidish rebbe. That's a birchas hedyot. That's when they tell a story that Rav Zevin has a story that a woman once came to the Ragachov. She wanted him to give her a bracha, so she kept on pestering. Says, I don't give any brachas. So after a while, so she kept on nudging him. So she trying to convince him that he should give her a bracha. So she said, Rebbe, the Gemara says, Al ti birchas hedyot kal be'enecha. Then she realized that she just insulted him. Abichas hedyot, but he's a hedyot. So she said, "A kavachaymer, if you'll give a bracha." So he said, "There's a chassidish rebbe around the corner. He'll give you a bracha without a kavachaymer." So the Gemara talks about abichas hedyot and kilas chacham. So kilas chacham, the Gemara says, "Kol mokum shenos nachachamim eneihem." When the rabbis were angry at someone and they stared at him and they wanted to curse him. So there's either misa or oni. Something tragic is going to happen. It's going to be punished because they're angry. Why he violated their din? But it can't really be called misa b'dei shamayim. If the rabbis get angry, they can kill a person with their stare. Looks.
But you
kill.
See that the chum have such a koach.
Yes. Okay. Because they gave a kilas chacham. If they want to give a kilas chacham, if they want to. But in the normal course of events, the Gemara says koresh min divrei meyikol. The Gemara says in Gittin, there's no koresh min derabbanan. It's not misa b'deish shemayim midrabban. If they want to, they can declare, whoever violates our din, we curse them. We want that they should die. So that'll be a kilos chacha. But it won't be considered a misa b'deish shemayim for having eaten truma b'shoidi. That's his paritz geti shechen anachash. Yeah, that's the curse. If they give such a curse, you know. So the Gemara says that the dvash from the tamarim is shahakol vipasna. Only the mashma yotzim and azayis manam. So we had a machlekes harishanim when we started the parak. We had a machlekes harishanim manishtana. Is it because the Zeisim Anovim were planted al das kein? So what if they planted, these are juice oranges and these are grapefruits for juice and these are juice apples and it's a multi-billion dollar business. They plant dafke, the best, they see to it that these apples are the best for making the apple cider and so on. So then according to those who are shining, you'll say Bar Pihu Eitz and the Mashma Yotzim from all of these things if it was planted dafke adai tadachi. And the generally accepted opinion is not so. It doesn't depend. It's not that Zeisim Anovim are different because that was the intention when you planted it. Not the Adai Tehachi. No, because the Torah singles out Mashkan Yotzman and Zeisim Anovim. The other's not. So it is that Machlekes seems to appear in Tosis. Tosis has here the Halachas Gedoilas, and they disagree with the Halachas Gedoilas. Haidub Shedadam Rebachan Leshahakol. And Tosis Pasilachem Mashmikol Mini Peris. Except for Mashma Yotzman Azeisim Anovim, as Rabbi Yeshua says in the Mishnah, Machlokes Ablezer Rabbi Yeshua. And this is not like the opinion of the Halachas Gedolos Lapukim, Halachas Gedolos Shepiresh, the Marish and Asa Natochem, Mayim is Shechar, Mayim, period. The Halachas Gedolos is of the opinion that if you have Dvash Temorim that oozed out by itself and wasn't diluted with anything else, wasn't diluted with any water, so he says, and the Tomorrow we're planted our diet to the ochre. They always ooze out the honey. Eretz zovas cholav dvash. It's oozing. The dvash is oozing out by itself. It's always not our diet to the ochre. So then he holds that it's lav dafke zeisim anovim. Any fruit, the pashta says, any fruit that was planted out as cane, so even hold like that other sheet. That's the pashta. Unless you say, that's what the Rosh suggests, unless you say, no, the Bahag didn't mean to say as a general rule. He wouldn't say it by grapefruit juice and by orange juice and by apple juice. He only says it by dvash because the Chumash, when the Chumash speaks about the Shivas Aminim, so the Chumash talks about dvash and it means tamarim. So the Chumash is referring to the dvash of the tamarim as the pri itself. So maybe that's an exception to the rule, just like there are two exceptions to the rule, Zeisman Novim. So maybe the Bahag only meant to say there's one more exception to the rule, namely the Dvash of tomorrow. But he didn't mean to generalize it, that whenever you have grapefruit juice or apple juice or orange juice, and the company planted all of these farms, Aldas Cain, to make the juice out of it, and they bred these trees specifically that it should be juice oranges and so on, so it could be that the Bahag wouldn't disagree on that. That's Shaila, exactly what pshat in the Bahag is. But it doesn't make a difference. We don't pass them like the Bahag anyway. We pass them like Tosis. That the only two exceptions to the rule that retain the Shem Priya, like Rabbi Shua said, only the Zeisim and the Anov. Then the second half of the Tosis really is not connected with the first half at all. The second half belongs on the next Gemara. Let's see the next Gemara first. Let's skip a little bit till Shtisa. Shtisa, we'll get back to it. Shtisa is a mashke. I remember when I was a little boy, they used to sell chocolate milk. That's why I'm so heavy. I used to eat chocolate milk. So they used to sell chocolate milk and they used to put in flour in the milk to make it thick. Maybe they still do it. I don't know. So the Shailas, what bracha do you say? If you mix in the flour from the Hameshis Minyei Dogan, so maybe it should be bar minim zayin. So the Gemara has a machloike, a shtisa, some kind of a drink that they mix in kemach. So it sounds like a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. Rab says shahakol and Shmuel says bar minim zayas. No, sounds like an outright machlekes. And the Gemara says v'loy pligi. They're not arguing. They're talking about two different cases. Haba rak. If it's very thick, then you say bar minim zayas. It's so thick, it's like a soup. Then you say bar minim zayas. But haba lachila abdila. So that's mizayas. And raka. Why do they make raka lerufuk abdila? So if it's going to be a raka, then it's going to be Shahakol nehiya bidvara. Yeah. Why does it make a difference? In the ovo, it's going to be more than 50% flour. No, the din is kol sheyesh boy. Mechamesh is mini dog. It doesn't have to have more than 50% flour. Even if it's less than 50%. It's not that if it's rakor, then it's ledevik bialma. What devik? It's chocolate milk. It's milk. You don't need any devik. And I talk about latkes. You don't need the flour to hold something together. Talk about a liquid over here. You're putting in the flour to make it a little thicker. So if it's over, it's less than 50%, it's going to be mezonis. If it's raka, it should also be mezonis. Why is it considered a tuffle over here? What's going on over here? So there are several pshatim. Why is raka shakal nivadvar? So the Gemara says, why do they mix it into raka? The Gemara says, raka l'refuah ka'avdilo. The Gemara is just describing why they do it. So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Ra'or. We have the Ra'or. The Ra'or wrote a chibra on the Rif, a Masechus Brachas. So it's printed as a separate sefer. Many Rishonim wrote chiburim on the Rif. Here we have the Rabbeinu Yoina, other Masechtas. We have the Ran, other Masechtas. We have the Rabbeinu Yohanesin, or the Muki Yosef. We have different Rishonim. But many Rishonim wrote on the Rashbam. Also wrote the comments on the Rif. They published some of them already. So here the Ra'or, the Beis Yosef quotes this from the Ra'or. That the reason, and the Ramah paskens like this, the reason why the shtisa raka is shahakol is because any maichad that's only eaten by sick people, the refuah, whatever the bracha should have been, which should have been ha'etz or hadama, let's say spinach. Let's imagine nobody enjoys eating spinach, and the only people eat spinach is if you're sick, your mother forces you to eat spinach. So spinach should have been bar pri hadama. It's a vegetable, it grows on the ground. But because only sick people eat it, it becomes shahakal. Whatever is only eaten by sick people, the miyuchad for refuah, so it goes down to the whatever level bracha it should have been hamaitz and mezainis or eitz adam or whatever it should have been, doesn't help. It becomes shahakal. That's what the Ramah quotes from the Ra'or, and most of the Achrayim disagree. We don't accept that opinion. We don't pass like that it's going to be shahakal. So the Gemara just saying, Why did they do it? Rakol, the Rafu'ah Kavim, the Gemara just describing why they made it Barak. But that's not the reason for the din. What's taka the reason for the din? Why is it that if you have shtisa rakol, it's not thick at all? Why should it not also be bari minim zaynus? If it's kol sheyesh ba mechamesh is mini dogna, it doesn't have to be more than 50%. And the ova is probably also less than 50%. So why shouldn't the rakol be mezaynus as well? So that's what the Tosfos, the second half of the Tosfos, Haidupsha, really has nothing to do with the first half of the Tosfos. Tosfos says, V'shecha didan. Tosfos raises the question, what bracha do you say when you drink beer? So what bracha? Everybody knows, you say shahaka when you drink beer. So Tosfos is bothered with akasha, but a lot of times they would cook the grain in water, and the flavor would go from the grain into the water. So why shouldn't that be bar min mezainis? The Gemara said before that if you eat vegetable soup, the bracha is bar pri adama, even though you strained out all the vegetables. Why? Because since you cook the vegetables in the water, so the tam, there's tam kikir, the tam goes from the vegetable into the water because of the bishul. So then the water, the soup has the bracha bar pri adama. So if you cook a grain in water, if you eat the kernel of grain itself, it doesn't have the hashivis to recite bar mini mezonis. You just say bar pi adam, it grows from the ground. They only made an exception to the rule if it's a higher level. If you make cake or cookies, then you say mezonis. If you make bread, then it's even higher. You say hamoitzim. And making beer, that's a fancy thing. There's something fancier than just eating hakoses as achita. So that was Tosis kasha. Why shouldn't I say that the beer, since it's such a dabach hashav, it has an isle iluya. It's ishtani lemal yus over here. You made it something better than it was originally. So why shouldn't I say bar mini mezonis on the beer? Just like you say bar pi adama on vegetable soup, even if you strained out all the vegetables, why don't say bar minim zaynus on the beer, even though you take out all of the kernels of grain? So Tosfos has three answers on the kasha. So the last answer that they give, yod b'shtiya ayma shehakol. The last answer that they give is the one that's quoted by all the poskim and shulchan aruch several times. That beverages, the bracha is always shehakol. And they got it from this gemara, that the gemara says shtisa. There never was machlekes Rabbi Shmuel v'lo pligi hober raka, and raka lirefuah ka'abdi law. That's just a description of what it is, but that's not the halachic explanation. That's not the reason why it's shahaka. What's the reason why it's shahaka? Because it's a beverage. Ova is not a beverage. Ova is a soup. If you have shtisa of it, it's a soup. So on a soup, you sometimes say hu adama. If it's vegetable soup, so on a soup, you can sometimes say mezonos. But if it's going to be rak, it's only shtia. The shtia ka'avdi law, so beverages only have one bracha, it's only shakra. That's the last sense that the Tesis gives. That's what the Prima Gadim talks about. When you drink coffee is made from the coffee bean, so you cook the coffee bean in water. The coffee bean should have been bar pihoetz. So why don't you say bar pihoetz on the coffee? Or maybe in order to say bar pihoetz, you have to have a tzuras hapri, so say bar pri hadoma. Let it be like vegetable soup, that even if you stained out all the vegetables, you still say bar pi adoma. So say bar pi adoma on a cup of coffee. So the Prima Gadim says the answer is bishti or mishahakal. All beverages the bracha shahakal. Quoted quite a few times in Shulchan Aruch. The last answer that Tez gave. Then Tez gave another two answers. Yeah.
Does that mean that if you take in soup with flour, they say donosan?
Yeah, that's what it says. Ova. That's shtisa ova. That's exactly. Shtisa ova means if you take in the soup with the flour.
No, but it's a meichel, so even if it's not ova, because it's not shtia soup, so it says a meichel, so even if it's not thick, it would be
donosan. I mean, even if you only put a little bit in, it's not so thick. Okay. If it's soup, it's always going to be shtisa, ova. Yeah.
I think what he was trying to say was that the trust that I should put it on Yavan Maya, on our test, that every soup of shlokas that comes out of shlokas is a maya. So without having to count to flour, it's a maya, because the ratio of that involved in the base of the
shlokas. Right. Soup is always a maya, right? So if you put in flour, it's going to become kol shi'esh bo'i. Chamesha Samin is going to be. You can't say that it's only a tofel. How can you say it's a tofel? No. It's in order to make a tikka. What that is. You can't say it's ledevik bialma. What do you mean ledevik bialma? The soup is not going to fall apart. It's in order to give it more body. So it's called sheeshba. It's going to be mezainis.
According to the Rambam, the specific case of shtisa, raka, would not require raka at all.
Why?
Because it's a refuah. Didn't you say, according to the Rambam, if it's a refuah, it's totally knocked down, no raka?
No. The Gemara is going to say later. Gemara says one might have thought, "Kevin the full come chavim lo lebarachol leklal come ashmor kid nislan dominate boy bruchi." The Gemara had a havamina 10 lines later that whatever you eat lerefua, since normally people take pills lerefua, they take awful tasting things. Even if they eat delicious food, whenever it's a meichel that's only eating lerefua, maybe you shouldn't say a bracha. Come ashmor on that if it's a pleasant tasting food, then you do say a bracha. Gemara says, "Therefore, you do say bracha." 10 lines after this Gemara. So that's the yeah.
You have the bracha
chrayna,
like an alamitka.
Yeah.
So do you need to have a shear of a kizayis? Kveger holds back, and so the Rav and Shmuel, you don't need everything goes after the dagger. Kveger
holds back. But everything goes after the
dagger. So even if you don't have a shear of kizayis in the food, as long as it can be sired with the other ingredients, even though they're not chamishas mine dagon.
You mean if I didn't have a kazayas of dagon?
Right.
As long as I had a kazayas of other...
Altogether,
you still say alamichya?
Yeah.
The Mishnah Brewer paskins against that. Yeah.
Right.
That's a machlekes sachran, based on a Gemara Menachos, we mentioned it. Yeah. We paskin like the Mishnah Brewer, you don't say. The Gemara says when... Gemara talks about the end of Menachos. I have to take a look. The Gemara talks about they had a nevela, they had a kazayas, and if someone would eat it, they would get malchus. Then he left it out in the sun, and part of the moisture evaporated, and it shrank, and now it has less than a kazayas. Then I kept on leaving it out. Today it's nice and sunny, and then tomorrow it rains, and tomorrow it gets rains. It sops up a lot of rain, and then it grows back into a kazayas. So the Gemara wants to know, is it considered having a shir kazayis? So the Gemara says, you don't give a malchus for eating it now, because when it absorbs the water from the rain, minatora not, but lechumre midirabbanon, for lechumre purposes, he treated it as if it has a kazayis. So that's what some achrayim say, lechumre midirabbanon, so you say a bracha achrayim. And the Mishnah Berurah says, no, safik brachas lahakel. The chumah midrabbanan would be for other things, but not to say a bracha. To say a bracha, that's called mekel. You're being mekel if you say that the guy should say ala michya. So you have to go the chumah to say that it's not mitztarif to the shir. And other acharim say no. The chumer with the rabbanon says you should say a bracha acharon. You should say alamich. Yes, the Tosis had asked this kasha by the Shekhar. Why don't we say Bari Minim Mizaynis on the Shekhar? So the final answer was B'shtiyah M'shachal, I got it from this Gemara. The Shtisa. Shtisa Raka, since it's a beverage, the bracha is always Shehaglam. The other, if that's what we raised an issue regarding schnapps, that if you have schnapps that's made from grain, it could well be that schnapps is not a beverage at all. Some Achronim, a group of Achronim, claim that schnapps is a Michael. That people don't drink schnapps when they're thirsty. Even in Russia, when they drink a bottle of vodka in one shot, they don't drink it because they're thirsty. They drink it because they want to be happy, whatever. They want to sharpen their minds, whatever their purpose of drinking vodka. So it could be that Rav Chaim Volozhin says like that. We mentioned Pesach Sidisha, Sidisha Rebbe also. Kozhik Lover quotes from others, right, that they say that that is considered a meichel. So if it's a meichel, maybe it should be Barim in Mizonis. According to the last answer of Tosis, yeah. Then Tosis gave another two answers. So what did Tosis give? What's the second answer that they gave? The Ode, right before that last answer, B'shtiyah M'shakal, the Ode Mishum Sheesh Ba'ilui Achrina, the Pas. Basically, you have on Dogon, a Chameshis Minyat Dogon, a Shach to have three different brachas, Bar Pi Adama, HaKoisis Hachitam Avarach Bar Pi Adama. And then Shach sometimes they say Bar Min Mizan, and sometimes they say Amoitzi Lechman. So Amoitzi Lechman Oretz, we had a whole sugya. Lechem, chale, pasa babakis nefar. The shayla is on the bari minim zayna. Sometimes they elevated the level of the brocha. Instead of saying a simple bar pri hadama, they said, let's say something fancier than that. So when they decide to give it the honor and glory of having a brocha bari minim zayna, when you made a cake or cookies or spaghetti, something chashev out of it. But over here, what? He made beer out of it. Nunu. So Tosis says, the cake and the cookies would have been a higher level, would have been more chashiv. The only time they give it the chashivas, that it should be switched from ho'adama to be bar minim zaynes, is if it's an iluya. If you elevate it, so beer is better than plain kosis achita, but it's not as high a level as it could have been, so therefore it doesn't elevate it to the level of bar minim zaynes. So say bar pi adama. They didn't answer the question. They answered the question the way they stated. The question was, why don't you say mezainis on beer? So they said, no, you only elevate it to the level of mezainis if it's cake or cookies or spaghetti or something good. Beer is not as chashiv as that. So the next question should be to say bar pi adama. Akoisa sachit, they say bar pi adama. So they don't answer that question. The last answer answers everything. That all beverages are shahakol shayin. But the second answer doesn't really give, doesn't answer all the questions. Yeah, what was the first answer that they gave? The Sheikh did not give the Shemi Yeshman because I asked Achilles Pras, Lemon Rachel, and they brought him in his own, and sell a shakol. I feel that the Rabbi Shmuel, I'm called Sheesh, but even if it has less than 50%, he said, Brian, in his own, it's all the Havi Buhum Mamish the Orim. And Sheikh, well, a time more be Alma, it's only Tom Kiker. They cook it new, so what's with vegetable soup? If you cook vegetables in water and then you strain out all the vegetables, you say bari pri adama. So what did they answer over here? So the Eben Ozel, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, writes, it's a local answer on bari min mizaynis. You only have the chashivas of bracha bari min mizaynis if you have the thing itself. Otherwise, bari pri adama is not such a fancy, blancy bracha. So that you can say on the soup also, but in order to say bari min mizaynis, you have to have the thing. So vayta shver, so say bar pri adam on the beer. Going to the first answer and the second answer, the first two answers are a local explanation why you don't say mizaynis. So the next question you should ask is to say hu adam. They were pushing for the maximum. You should say mizaynis on beer. So they knocked it off, so the next question is going to be say bar pri adam. The third answer answers everything. On beverages, the bracha is always shah. So that's the accepted answer. That's the Gemara by Shtisa, yeah. Then the Gemara asked Akasha, Masiv Rabbi Yosef, how can you tell me that Shtisa Rako is Avdilah the Refuah? That why do they make it? It's for medicinal purposes. Masiv Rabbi Yosef, in fact, Akasha, there's a whole, Masech Shabbos has 24 prokim in Mishnah. So there's one whole perek, Shmaina Shvatzim, Rove of the perek. The first daf talks about the Shmaina Shvatzim, Amor, Matar, Tumah, Vetare, Echoivol. Then the rest of the bulk of the perek talks about refuah b'shabbos. Medigzeret Rabbanan, you're not allowed to prepare any medication on Shabbos, you're not allowed to apply any medication. Two prohibitions, to make a medication and to apply medication. It's all Gzeira Shem Yishachik Samamon. And even if the whole Tama Gzeira absolutely doesn't apply at all, like we said, a hot water bottle, there's nothing to grind up. You can't grind up the water, you can't grind up the bottle. Still, that's the halacha. All forms of refuah Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. So it says in that context, even though there's a machlekes hatanoim about certain details of refuah b'shoven, they all agree about the following: shebochshin, you're allowed to stir es hashtisa b'shabbos. B'shosis is what we call shtisa. Shtisa is Aramaic, and shosis is the lashon hatanoim. Shebochshin es hashtisa b'shabbos. Normally, you're not allowed to prepare medication on Shabbos. In this one, you're allowed to prepare and you're allowed to drink it also. B'shosim zeisim amitzvi. You're allowed to drink zeisim amitzvi. Why? There's no Issa Refuah. So Rav Yosef Tainis, V'Yisal Gadayach, L'Refuah Kamachavin, if you're going to tell me that the Shtisa Rako is the Refuah Kavdilo, so let it be included in Gzeres Refuah, Refuah B'Shabbos Mishari, that's what he Tainis. How can you tell me that Shtisa Rako they do for Refuah? Sakam it says in Shabbos that it's Mutter. So his student Abaye answers him, and he says it's not a Kash, I'm not Abaye, Vatla, Tizbro. Well, Gemara tells in the dorm that Rav Yosef took sick and he forgot all of his learning. And then later on, Abaye and the other Talmidim, when he was restored back to his health, so they would remind them of everything that he had told them earlier years. So that's what Abaye says back then. This is probably after he got sick. So Abaye reminds him and he says, don't you agree also? Even if the thing is lirifuah, but if it's a Michael Briam that healthy people eat it also, then it's mutter to take it the refuah. Let's say some people only take schnapps when they have a cold. They don't enjoy drinking schnapps. So you're going to say, for the people who enjoy drinking schnapps, they're allowed to drink schnapps on Shabbos, even if they're sick, because it's a Michael Briam. For the people who don't enjoy drinking schnapps, they only drink them when they're sick, so then for them it's a refuah. No, since there are people, there do exist people who enjoy the bums on the Bowery. They enjoy drinking schnapps all the time. So that means that schnapps is a Michael Briam. So then even if a person only drinks schnapps when he's sick, there's no Issa Refuah B'Shabbos. So that's Abaye, reminds Rav Yosef. Vatlai Tizbara, don't you agree also to that? Klal. Vatanan, it's a Mishnah. Kol ha'ech mochel varam refuah b'shalach ha'mash l'shoseh. Whatever is a Michael Briam is mutter on Shabbos. So the answer is shtisa. Shtisa rako. It tastes good. Some people will drink it the way it is. It's miyuchad for cholim. So there's no Issa Refuah on the thing because it's considered a Michael Briam. What's the teretz? There's an exception to the rule. The rule is that refu is asur on Shabbos. There's an exception to the rule. Gavra l'achilu kamachave. Achanami gavra l'achilu kamachave. It's a Michael Breen, then it's muta. Nishnachrin. Another way to word Abaye's argument is l'mayis lach l'meim. Gavra l'achilu kamachave. Refu me'elo kahavya. Achanami l'achilu kamachave. Refu me'elo kahavya. What's the difference between the first losh and the second losh? Not the same thing. That Michael Briam is mutter. So the Birchas Rosh raises the question. It says it's the exact same thing. What's a way of wording it? It's the same answer. What does the Gemara bother to quote two different ways of expressing the same answer? It's exactly the same thing. So he says maybe there's a nafkamina. Maybe it'll happen nafkamina ledina. Let's say there's a Michael Briam that the Chayla is taking on Shabbos lirefuah. But he can't stand this Michael Breen. He absolutely abhors it. And his intention is only L'Shem Refuah. He's not intending L'Shem Achila at all. Will that be mutter or not? So he suggests that maybe that depends on the two L'Shemis in the Gemara. Which direction? Which way does it depend on the two L'Shemis? It's an interesting question. So which way does it depend on the two L'Shemis in the Gemara? So I don't know why. See, I would have thought the reverse from the way he says. What are the two lashonos? Ma'is l'chaim, gavra l'achilu kamachavin. Achanan gavra l'achilu kamachavin. So he says, according to the first lashon in the Gemara, he has to be mechaben l'achilu. Also, according to the second lashon, gavra l'achilu kamachavin. Refuah memela kamachavin. How do you see that's the difference in the first lashon and the second lashon? It's a good question. What's the difference in the first lashon and the second lashon? And it's good chakira. What's the din? You have a Michael Briam, and the guy absolutely can't stand it. And it's clear that he's only taking the refuah. Everybody knows he can't stand schnapps. He chokes when he drinks schnapps. So he's not really mechaber machila at all. So would it be mutar asa? Interesting shaila. How do you read that into the words of the Gemara? That's the difference between the lishna kama and lishna basa. There should be some difference. There are Gemaras and Tmura. Gemara and Tmura, that's what the Maharaj Chayes points out. The different volumes, the different Mesichtas and Shas, apparently were edited. Rabin Avashi were the overall editors, like an art scroll. They have overall editors, are Nassim Sherman and whatever. So then they have each volume of art scroll is written by somebody else. Each one is going to have a different style of writing. So you have the different Mesichtas. Have totally different styles. Like Tosfos says on Maseches Nazir, Loshen Nazir Mishuneh. You have a different style. The text of Maseches Nazir is very different. That's what Tosfos writes in Negeah on Daf Dalet, that Kiddush and Avdolah. For the Nazir, is a Nazir allowed to drink wine for Kiddush and Avdolah? So Tmur is also very Mishuneh. The text of Maseches Nazir is very Mishuneh. You'll have very often, the Gemara will have a Kasha and a Teretz, and they'll give Lishna Achrina, and there's absolutely no difference between the first version and the second version, just a different way of presenting it. So they put, like by Yasa would be, one text would be in the Gemara, one would be in the Bach on the side, the two versions of the same thing. So we have a Maseches Tmura, all these things printed in the Daf itself, not with the Bach. Bach adds on more on the side there too, but you have a lot of times printed in the text. So it looks over here as if it's exactly the same thing. What's the difference? That's what the Birchas Rosh raised the question. What is the difference between two Lashonos? Does it have to be a difference? Maybe it doesn't have to be a difference. Maybe it's just Chai Vara Lama B'Lashon Rabba. So they're trying to quote the verbatim what Abai said, and they're not sure. Yeah.
What is the Raha's proof from this Gemara beyond the food which only sick people eat, and Shdisa, as you see, is not only a food that sick people eat, because it's also my food.
I mean, the same food.
Is not only a food that sick people eat, because as you see from Maskana, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, it's also a matzah.
It's done with the healthy people. When they eat it, will probably make it into a shtisa ova. They won't make it into a shtisa raka, but there isn't such a big difference between the ova and the raka. It's just a question of how much flour you put in. So he says that since this is miyuchad for only for cholim, so the bracha is going to be shahar. The tainus akad be mutar on Shabbos. That's very interesting. The fact that it's mutar on Shabbos means that it is a machal brim. So how do you say the refuah is different? Yeah. It's a pella. We don't accept that opinion. We paskin. We understand the Gemara that the shdisa rako is shahakol, like Tosfos said. The shdi am a shahakol. And then the Gemara adds on as a footnote. It's important that Rav had his member over here. That you say, Rav Shmuel said over here. Rav said that you say, Sha'akal on the Shtisa Raka, that you're drinking therefore. Because I would have thought, have a minute, yeah. I would have thought there's no way to refuah b'Shabbos because Michael Breem, but I would have thought that no broch is recited. I would have thought you still don't say a broch. So, Kamash Malon, that you do say a broch. So that's the halacha. Whenever you take a refuah and it's tasty, so then you do say bracha. Whatever is just purely the refuah, it doesn't taste good at all, so then no bracha is recited. So we left out the middle Gemara with Trima. That's a famous Gemara. So tomorrow we should do Trima. How many people want to do Trima tomorrow? Okay, how many people want to do Chumash? Okay, so we'll save the Trima for Sunday. Save the Trima for Sunday. Okay. Tomorrow is Lech Lecha. Good.